International success coach and noted author Constance Arnold delivers life-changing strategies through her own spiritual practices, as well as with best-selling authors and experts she interviews. Think, Believe, and Manifest is specially designed to empower your mind and your words to work for you and to bring about the life you've been dreaming of. And now, here's Constance Arnold.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network. And of course, I am Constance Arnold, your most gracious host. And today I am broadcasting live with just a little touch of Southern flavor from hot Atlanta, Georgia. I'm so grateful that you've joined me today from all over the world, from Argentina, from Sweden, from Ireland, from Canada, my goodness, from Brazil, and of course, my faithful listeners here in the U.S. And guess what? If you're listening to the show, it is no accident. As a matter of fact, it's a setup. Aha! The Spirit of God has attracted you here so that you can receive answers, solutions, insight, and revelation about your life that you will begin to implement immediately. Well, how are you doing? I hope you're having a great day. It is a beautiful day here in Atlanta. It's hot. Summertime isn't here, but it feels like summertime, and all is well. I hope that you've had a great week and that you are excited about even the smallest changes that are happening in your life and that you are grateful for them. Well, today I have a very special guest, Miss Barbara Winter, and she's going to be talking about, you ready for this? How to be joyfully jobless. She's been doing it for decades, and so I want you to stay tuned. But I have a couple of things that I want to do first. I want to read to you an email from one of my listeners. And first of all, I want to say thank you for sending me emails about how the show is changing your life. It really motivates me. It keeps me encouraged. It keeps me aligned with what I feel that God has called me to do. So I'm just going to read excerpts from this. This is from Karen. You know who you are, Karen. And she says, "Dear Constance, I'm hoping you can feel my gratitude when you read this." And she talks about how she found my podcast late one night while she was listening to someone else, and that she has been through a lot, and dark was the new normal for her. The night that she found my interview, there was actually something else she said that really caught her attention. She says, "You are so genuine, so connected. It's hard to explain. Needless to say, I was drawn to listen to many of your other interviews, and you never disappoint. Thank you so much. You always ask the questions that are in my mind and heart. You listen, thoroughly engage with the person you're speaking with." And then she said, which is rare, as a lot of interviewers seem to be so occupied with speeding through the questions. "And you share yourself so authentically. It's like a visit with the old friend." And she says, "I've never written to anyone during these past 30 years of my spiritual journey except one," and that's Anita Marjani, asking her to pray for her dog. And she said, "Lastly, I just wanted to say thank you so much." Isn't that wonderful? Well, I just want to say, Karen, thank you so much for sending me that wonderful email. And really, it's all about you. When I'm asking questions, I pray and say, "Holy Spirit, what do my listeners need to know? What have they been struggling with this week? What do they need?" Because, you know, all it takes is one word from God God to shift and change your life. So, Karen, thank you so much. And if any of you would like to email me and let me know how this show is changing your life, you can email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. Let's see. Also, if you're interested in donating or sending tithe, you can just go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and hit the little button that says donate, and you can go through PayPal. Many of you asked me about my coaching, and all you need to do is go on my website, look under products, and you will see my different coaching packages. But I've got to share with you about how so many of you are coming to Atlanta, and I'm going to have an opportunity to meet you in person. That's right, my Breakthrough Strategic Transforming Miracle Weekend. You know, and the word transforming is not behavior modification. It means from the inside out. And of course, Pete and I are so excited. And so one of the great features that we're going to have is we're going to have a 30, 60, 90 day plan. And interestingly enough, you know, the gentleman who wrote Think and Grow Rich, he said desire is not enough. You know, so many of us have desires and general knowledge is not enough, because your knowledge needs to be organized and directed through practical plans of action. And, you know, great ideas die if they are not properly executed. So one of the things that we're going to do, Pete and I, doing the conference, is we're going to actually be working with you one-on-one to really show you how to direct your number one goal through practical plans of action. We're going to teach you how to prepare a plan to help organize the details. And so I just came up with a little example of what it might look like. This is real general. Let's just say your number one goal is to start a business. So these are some things that we might would help you come up with. These are very general. Okay, in the first 30 days, we might say we want you to get your LLC. We want you to write down a clear plan of the services that you have to offer. We want you to research your competitors. What are they doing that's working that you can do? We want you to shatter and speak to one person who's already successful. That's the first 30 days. It might be more. Second 30 days, we want you to go to the Small Business Administration and take some classes. We want you to start attending a mastermind group that is in line with what you're doing. We want you to possibly attend some Chamber of Commerce meetings, etc., while you are executing your plan. That's the second 60 days. And of course, you will have your accountability partner that's going to be calling you and saying, Mary, have you, you know, done what you're supposed to do in month two? And then the last 30 days, we may make sure that you're spending 1 hour during the week, if you still have a job, working on your business, 5 hours on the weekend, that you begin your marketing on social media. That would be Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, those kinds of things. And so that's just a general way of how we are going to help you to take that specialized knowledge, organize it, and direct it through practical plans of actions. And so, like I said at the beginning, just having a desire, honey, that is not enough. You have to have someone there to mentor, support, and help you. As a matter of fact, I think next week I'm going to have the lady who has coached with me for 5 years on, and I'm just going to let her talk about her life. And I tell people, if you don't coach with me, coach with someone. So we'd love to see you in Atlanta. I have a payment plan for you. I have that. I got that out for you. We're about 60 days out. You can pay $100 deposit, and then the other two payments will come out over the next 60 days. You can afford that, but the question is, do you believe that you're worth the investment? So go to my website, fulfillingyourpurpose.com. And my tip for the week, I really hear from people from all over the world. And I guess the number one question I ask them is, how much time are you spending every day with God or with spirit? And I was on a panel this week, and they're always asking me, what do you think is the number one thing that people need to do? And I think, since you are body, soul, and spirit, that the number one thing that you need to do is not do anything, but to be. You need to make spending time with spirit, with God, with your hour of power, your number one priority. So that means, I call it putting God first place. So that means when you wake up, you're not going to turn on CNN, you're not going to turn on your computer. I know that it's really enticing and possibly tempting, but that's not going to change your life. And so making God, making spirit, making your hour of power a priority. And so when I ask people, well, have you done that? They said, well, I just say a prayer. Well, how long is that? Just like 1 minute. You are alive 24 hours a day. And so, why do you want to do that? Because spirit has all of the answers. And so instead of being self-occupied only, because we know that you are co-creators with God, be God occupied. Be spirit occupied, shifting your thoughts away from self occupation to God occupation or Christ occupation. What does that mean? That means that we know you have this great idea, but you only know so much. So you need to spend time with your co-creator so that God can download you what you should do. And that is why many of you are struggling, because you are not taking the time to really make that the number one priority. And so when you do that, what happens is behavior modification happens. And behavior modification is sustained by your own discipline, self-efforts, and willpower. And how many of you have tried that before? That doesn't work all of the time. Why? Because you need the power of the spirit. You see, it's not just the principles and the law of attraction and visualization and affirmation, and all of those are wonderful, absolute, universal principles, but you need the power, you need the spirit, you need God, you need infinite intelligence behind visualization, behind all of the principles that you're learning. So, behavior modification is really sustained by your own efforts. But if you want to be transformed from the inside out and sustained by the power and the love of God, then you need to stop depending on yourself alone. And stop all of that striving and stuff, and start depending wholeheartedly on spirit. So once again, it's making that a priority and shifting your thoughts from self-occupation to God occupation. And so what would that look like for me? I like to have a cup of coffee, so I'll come downstairs and get my coffee. And it's different every day. One day this week, I spent just 30 minutes reading from the book with Florence Scovra Shinn on prosperity. So that meant that I read a chapter, I wrote down the notes that I felt were really speaking to me for that day, and I just began to think on those notes and meditate on those notes. Okay, the second thing I did was I began to say out loud, God, whatever the demands or the needs are in my life today, the supply is already here. And so that meant that I took out my affirmations or my declarations and I began to declare it. I began to say it. Now, this is before I do anything. I mean, I know I have emails from all over the world. I might have phone calls. I don't even turn my phone on until I'm finished what my number one priority, which is my hour of power, my time with spirit, etc. And then I may do visualization then, or I may wait till the morning, till the evening. And you know, after that, guess what? I'm so refreshed. Things happen to me so much more easier. I feel like that I'm in partnership with the God of the universe, that I'm not struggling. I'm not trying to do things on my own. And it would sort of be like if you go to the gym and you do 5 crunches, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then you say, I'm finished. Or conversely, if you go to the gym and you spend an hour there, eventually your body will be transformed and changed. And so the tip for the week is begin to make God, Spirit, your hour of power, the number one priority in your life. And then from that place, success, abundance, prosperity, ideas will be downloaded into your life. You know, I'm really excited about that. My hour of power this morning was very powerful. And that's when the Spirit just gave me the insight to share with you about how this life-changing, transforming part of your life will really begin to create the life of your dreams. Okay, so go ahead and do that. Send me some emails and let me know how that's working for you. We're going to go to these quick commercials, and guess what? Then I'm going to be right back with Barbara Winter.
You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network, heard by millions worldwide through 38 internet radio stations and in over 135 countries. Come join us on Facebook for your daily dose of inspiration and action that reveals the secret within you. You can find us at facebook.com/Law of Attraction Radio Network. That's facebook.com/Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams? Imagine partnering with a coach that can help you manifest extraordinary success. Constance Arnold has been a licensed therapist and coach for over 25 years and has successfully worked with more than 10,000 clients. Constance will help you clarify your goals, eliminate self-defeating beliefs, and create strategic plans to manifest your dreams. Constance offers a variety of coaching packages, pay-as-you-go, half-yearly, and yearly coaching. Contact Constance today for guaranteed coaching that produces extraordinary and permanent results. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.
It's here. It's hot. And it's a must read. It's the science behind The Law of Attraction magazine. Every issue brings you great articles and in-depth how-tos from all your favorite Law of Attraction experts, authors, scientists, and medical professionals. Go to lawofattractionmagazine.net. That's lawofattractionmagazine.net.
Well, I am back and I'm really excited about my very special guest today. And I know you say, Constance, you're always excited. And guess what? I am. My very special guest today is Barbara J. Winter, and she is a pioneering self-employment advocate, writer, and teacher who has spent the last 25 years pondering the question, why aren't we all self-employed? Helping others discover the joyful jobless life is her favorite occupation. She has been featured in Forbes magazine for being one of the best books on coaching. She is the author of Making a Living Without a Job, that's been in print since 1993. And I think she just recently has an update on that. She is changing the lives of people all over the world. She loves to travel. And I'm just excited to hear what she has to say. So, Barbara Winter, welcome to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Why, thank you for inviting me. I am excited to be here. I'm also excited to hear what I have to say, because I'm not sure what that will be.
Well, you know, I told you before the recording that I just wanted to thank you for the work that you have done and for being a pioneer in the self-employment area. I've been in self-employed for 20 years, and your work is just so awesome. So I just want to say thank you.
Why, thank you very much. You know, it's one of those things that I think a lot of us discover along the way, is that our calling isn't always apparent to us, but once it is, there's no turning back. And that's pretty much what happened to me, was that I was so unhappy in the jobs that I had and was terrified that I was going to spend my whole life just kind of phoning it in. And then suddenly everything changed. And it's been an exciting roller coaster, I think, with the correct way to describe what it's been like.
Well, you know, so interesting. I can really relate to that, Barbara, because I guess 25 years ago, I worked in the school system, and every Sunday night I got a headache. And it was because I knew what I had to face. And I just knew deep down on the inside of me, you know, I had to sit in traffic for about an hour because I did live in Atlanta. And I said to myself, this could not be what God has designed for me.
Exactly. You know, my first job was as a high school English teacher. Mm-hmm. And I loved it the first year. And the second year was even better. And then by the third year, I realized I could predict what I was going to be doing hour by hour, week by week, month by month. And I thought my life is like Groundhog Day. You know, I'm just having the same year over and over again. And I was also, even as a young teacher, I remember, you know, being surrounded by other teachers who had been in the school system for 20 years. And I can remember thinking there's no light in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And probably in my fourth year of teaching, I had that horrible, I think of it as a horrible moment of truth. And I thought, if I don't leave soon, I'm going to be like that. I'm going to be one of those people that just keeps showing up and just, you know, it's like a robot almost. And I had that same, this can't be why I'm here kind of moment. And then the real voyage of discovery and exploration began.
And so for listeners all over the world, Barbara, and, you know, one of the main questions that I get globally is, how can I start my own business? So what would be some of the principles that people would need to know first about how to become, I love it, joyfully jobless?
I think it's really interesting. I tell people that when we decide to go from being an employee to being an entrepreneur, it's really like learning a new language. And I think that people who end up being the most successful also happen to be people who are enthusiastic, lifelong learners, because there's a lot of learning that goes with it. And in fact, I think a lot of people, including me, think that's the bonus. When you do this, There's always something new to learn. And I love that about being self-employed, that there's always something exciting and new to discover. And there are, you know, first of all, I guess you have to decide what you want your whole life to look like. And where does work fit into that? And I think most of us have been conditioned to fit our life around our work. Like, I was just talking to a woman who works with travel, and she was talking about, you know, always hearing from people saying, oh, yeah, I really want to travel, but I don't have the money to do it, and that kind of thing. And we had a little talk about that. And I think that when you're self-employed, you start looking at things differently. It's like, well, now what really matters to me? And then how do I create that kind of life? What do I need to do? And it really isn't a creative exploration. I remember years ago, in fact, I've just been going to write about this. Bernie Goldhirsch, who was the founder of Inc. magazine, used to tell his writers, entrepreneurs are artists and businesses are canvas. And I think that a lot of people, you know, have grown up like I did, thinking being creative meant you painted pictures or you wrote music or you wrote stories, and didn't realize that we can be creative. Creativity can extend to every single part of our life. And starting your own business is one of the most creative things you can do. And also to realize that each of us does it in our own way. And that's what I find exciting, is that no two people ever do it exactly the same way. So self-awareness is just as important as learning about the ins and outs of running a business. And that's what really drew me there. It's like, I got really interested in personal growth and development long after I was out of formal schooling. And first of all, couldn't understand why I had spent all those years in education and never had been taught anything about self-esteem or goal setting or any of the personal growth kinds of the attitude development, for instance. Didn't know any of that stuff. And that's what kind of led me. I kind of came in through the back door to self-employment. And I am guessing that for a lot of people who are your listeners, Constance, that they have been on a spiritual journey. And the moment comes when we realize this is wonderful. All these things I've learned are really wonderful, but I've got to have my own laboratory now to test and explore and make this very real in the world. And that's really how I think I found self-employment. It was like, well, if I have my own business, I could, you know, make it be anything I want it to be.
You know, that is so true, because just in my own life personally, I started my business 20, 25 years ago, where I was training, and I learned so many things about myself. I mean, I was really afraid in many respects. But there was something. I was more creative. I didn't know how creative I was. I didn't know how detailed I was. And there was so many behaviors that I had to learn in business in order to be successful. So how does a person deal with, you know, that whole self-esteem thing, the yes, I can do this, and with fear?
I'm not an expert on fear. I think that fear is something that we have to kind of, by ourselves, we have to challenge it.
Yeah.
Understand what's really going on here. But I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
I like to tell people now that self-employment is where we come to create a healthy relationship with money. And money is really a big thing, kind of a dragon on the road. That's what comes up for people. Oh, if I quit my job, I'm not going to have any money, and all these horrible things are going to happen. So I was early in my self-employment journey, And I was going Christmas shopping. I lived in Santa Barbara at the time. And at that time, I did not have access to very much money. I was married to a man who controlled our finances, and I almost had an allowance. And so I never really had challenged that. I just kind of, well, that's the way it is. So I went to downtown in Santa Barbara to go Christmas shopping, and I was carrying more cash with me than normal. And I started out, I remember parking in a parking ramp, and every person I saw looked like a mugger. And I got so frightened that I had to stop and go back home. But that was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I realized that I had a belief I didn't know I had. And that belief was, if I have money, people will hurt me. Mm-hmm. And once I realized that, it was like, I'm going to change this. And so I think our challenging fear is, first of all, we have to recognize what it is we're actually thinking. And then we have to create our own program to deal with that. And I think there's, you know, I think this is another thing that I have kind of learned over the years. Very often what we call fear isn't. Fear actually is a really helpful human emotion that keeps us from, oh, like being devoured by grizzly bears. But what more often we're encountering is self-doubt. And if we name it, then we can do something about it. You know, then we can start challenging ourselves. Why do I feel this way? What am I doubting? Why do I feel inadequate in this situation? Why am I resisting what's going on here? There is a wonderful book also that I've been raving about since I found it about 10 years ago called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, which is about dealing with resistance. And it really clarifies what's going on in those moments when we stop ourselves and how we can not eliminate it, but we can learn to still act in the presence of it. And that's powerful stuff. And so sometimes it's as simple as saying, I'm really feeling nervous about this, and I'm going to do it anyway. And it I think it also requires a willingness to not do everything perfectly, you know, to sometimes be a klutz. We learn through mistakes. We learn through screwing things up, and giving ourselves permission to not be perfect can take us a really long way.
Wow, that's so true. Well, you know, and Barbara, I can so relate to you because I went to a government building about a year ago, and everybody in there, it was like the light was gone out of their eyes. They were kind of like robots. And yep. So, you know what I'm talking about. So how can someone who's listening, who might be very passionate or passionate about helping children, how can they find that lost passion and become joyfully jobless?
I think that the thing is we have to give ourselves permission to try stuff. Yeah. And we have to, you know, try stuff on a small scale and then evaluate. We often do it the other way. We evaluate before we do it and say, oh, yeah, that was probably a dumb idea. Oh, yeah, nobody's going to care about this. Instead of going out and seeing and, you know, and saying, oh, well, I didn't get the response I wanted to, but now I know how I could do it better next time. And improve on it and realize that, and this is another thing that I think a lot of people don't think about, but if they do, it really makes a big impact on their success. Realize that building a business is an evolutionary process. We don't start out fabulous. We start out wanting to be fabulous. And we give ourselves permission to take this journey and deal with things as they come along. And I think sometimes when we become uncomfortable in that, the gift often is that we then go running to find a teacher. We pick up a book that speaks to us and helps us move past. So it's it is the best personal growth program ever invented. And we keep learning as we go if we are an enthusiastic student.
You know, that's so true. So really, it's more about the journey and who you're becoming. And it's almost like the business is just a byproduct of that. I know I feel more courageous after 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is something we accumulate and something that, you know, and we have to also notice that about ourselves. Oh my goodness, I just made that phone call, and 2 years ago I'd have been scared to death and talked myself out of doing it, and it turned out really well. I'm so glad I did it. And we have to notice and give ourselves credit for our own growth and development, and that takes us to the next level and the next level and the next level. And it's pretty exciting. Getting to know that person you sleep with all the time is really quite exciting.
It is. You know, I love it when you talk about starting small and thinking big. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think that the vision pulls us forward. The vision of what we could become, even though, and I also talk a lot about getting clear about the essence of what you want and being flexible about the form. A lot of times, you know, we think, well, it's got to happen in this way. And when we think it must happen in this way, we often close ourselves to even better opportunities of it happening another sort of way. So, let me give you an example of my own business. I knew from the beginning that I wanted to involve myself in public speaking or teaching of some sort. And so I kind of looked around and saw that most people who are professional speakers had a lot of corporate clients. And so I got a couple of those kinds of gigs. And then I realized that really wasn't where I belonged. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that I could not really talk about the things that mattered to me in that environment, because people didn't have the kind of environment that would allow them to be as creative and so forth as I was encouraging them to be. So I had to change directions a little bit, and I knew I still wanted to be sharing things in groups of people, but I had to figure out where was my audience, mm-hmm. you know, and it turned out to be in a different place than I originally thought to look. So that kind of willingness to understand the essence of what we want and then let the form And most of us are trained to think in a totally different way. We think about form first.
So true. So let's just say someone who is in Europe or in Africa, and they may say, that sounds great, Barbara. So, you know, how can I get some good ideas where I can serve people and really make a profit? So what would you say to people about getting great ideas?
Oh, you know, it's really funny. I love the whole idea thing, because that's really what entrepreneurs do, is they get an idea and bring it to life. But the funny thing is, so many people will start out saying, I don't have any ideas. Somebody who's been self-employed for a while has a different problem. And their problem is, I have too many ideas. I don't know what to do next. And if they both kind of lead to the same place, which is nowhere. You know, you got to pick one and go with it. And I think, you know, you got to expose yourself to other people who are self-employed. And for a lot of people, that's, you know, foreign territory. Because if you've worked in a conventional work environment, you don't know a lot of people who are self-employed. So you can start with a trip to the bookstore. You can start with a trip online and start looking at websites, for instance, and blogs by people who are talking about building and creating businesses. I also happen to be a big fan of reading biographies of people who have started their own business, and I just find those things really inspiring. And they don't have to be people who are doing anything at all related to what you think you might want to be doing. It's, again, the essence. What's the philosophy? How did those people think? How did they think differently than the people I've been hanging out with? If you live in a place where there are active groups, it could be a meetup group, it could be little organizations of people who are self-employed, attach yourself. One of the easiest ways to start connecting with just a few other people who are self-employed is to take some seminars if you can find them where you live. If you have an adult education program, you're going to meet other people who are also exploring the same subject, and they may be, you know, just on the verge of starting. They might still be just wanting to start something, but they're not quite sure what it's going to be. But I think the most important thing is be willing to take an idea, a tiny little idea, and just throw it out there and see what happens. And then get out your next idea and let the marketplace tell you what it wants. I have to tell you the biggest surprise of my life.
Okay.
How successful Making a Living Without a Job has become. It became the core of my business. But when I first proposed it as a seminar to a small adult ed program in Minneapolis where I was living, I thought I might do it like two times because it was so radical. I just didn't think there would be enough students to take it. And the first time we had it scheduled, the director called me up and he said, "You better know how to make a living without a job, because we have twice as many people who want to take it as we've got room for." Wow. And it just went from there. And, you know, I just remember walking out of those first seminars thinking, I love this. I love talking about this. I love sharing this information. And after a year of trying out different seminar ideas through this program, ideas that I was sure were much better than Making a Living Without a Job. Making a Living Without a Job was always the biggie. And so a lot of times our marketplace tells us where our best ideas are or what people need most from us. But that willingness to experiment and say, "Yeah, that was okay," or "that one's going out of my portfolio," or "I want more of this," is something that's an ongoing part of building our business. And it isn't something we just do at the beginning. We do it all the way through. I suggest to people they stop every 90 days and just evaluate and look at what's really working well. What do I want to do more of? What do I want less of? Is it time to bring out my next idea? All, you know, so we're always changing things up for ourselves.
So awesome. You talk about marketing on a shoestring, because people say, "Well, I would start my own business, but you know, you need startup capital. You need some money, honey." So Barbara, what would you say to people about, do you need money to start a business?
You know, when I lived in Minneapolis, I had the fun of watching a tiny little business grow up. And that little business was the Geek Squad, which became a really big business, mm-hmm. and now is owned by Best Buy. But I heard Robert Stevens, who was the founder of the Geek Squad, speak one time, and it was wonderful. And he started that business with $200 and an idea and a rickety old car that was the first Geek Mobile. And he said something that I thought was so brilliant. He said, "In the absence of capital, creativity flourishes." And another one of my entrepreneurial heroes, Paul Hawken, writes about that in his book, Growing a Business. And he said, Very often, people will amass a big amount of money to start a business. And then every time they get a problem, they'll throw money at the problem. And eventually, they still have all their problems, but they don't have any money left. And so learning to do things creatively is one of the most fabulous things that you can possibly do. And I think about people like Richard Branson, who is another entrepreneurial hero of mine, who has from the beginning, when he started his very first business, realized that he could get free publicity. And so he started doing outrageous things in public, and the press would show up. And pretty soon, Richard Branson was a name that was familiar to people in the UK and eventually to people all over the world. And so starting small has some huge advantages when we're learning. And there's so many creative ways to market now that cost absolutely nothing. Paradoxically, I happen to be writing an article about that very thing right now. So,
So you know, Barbara, another question that I want to ask you. So how do people transition? I mean, do you leave your job? Do you work on your job? And then when you come home in the evening, you work on your joyful, jobless life? What would that look like? Or would that be very individualized?
I think it is very individualized. You know, again, it depends on the big picture. What do you want your life to look like? I think a lot of people realize, first of all, I'll give you an example. I had a student who called me one time. And she had been an artist, and then she got a job, and she did my seminar and decided art was really where she wanted to spend her time. And after a couple months, she called me up, and things were really starting to take off for her in her art business. Excuse me, I think I'm going to have a cough here for a minute.
Oh, go ahead. I've done that before. You go ahead and cough. That's not a problem.
Anyway, she said the biggest surprise for her was that she didn't need so much money to support her life. And she said, I realized that when I had a job I hated, I would spend every weekend shopping, hoping I could buy something that would make me feel good enough to go back to work on Monday. And so rethinking what the money piece of your life needs to be, especially in the early days, is something that requires some thoughtful consideration, of course. And so for some people, starting things as a sideline and, you know, getting it to a point where they can see that it's going to now generate enough cash flow that they can leave behind their job. And I tell people, if you read my book, I talk about building a portfolio of profit centers. I say, if you still have a job, think of that as one of your profit centers. Don't think of it as your job. Think of it as one, think of yourself as a consultant to your employer and that you're providing services. And that's just one of the ways you generate cash. And then work on building some other profit centers. And when your other profit centers start to mature, then you can make the decision to leave. Other people are perfectly fine with just jumping in, you know, and just starting from scratch. And again, it depends on your obligations and rethinking what you want to have in your life. And you know, I'm fascinated, for instance, by the whole small house movement and how many people are saying, you know, I've just been filling my life up with clutter and I want to live a simpler life. And that opens up all sorts of possibilities too for doing all kinds of adventurous things that don't require huge financial investments. But again, as we said at the beginning, it's a personal decision.
Well, you know, when I was doing the research for the program, I just sort of laughed at some of the things that you had written in the article about, you know, what can happen in your life when you become joyfully jobless. And some was no supervisor, a more balanced life, lifelong learning, constant personal growth, no office politics, great tax deductions. And so really, it's a place of freedom, isn't it?
It really is. And freedom of the finest sort. And, you know, it's not a responsibility that I take lightly or that I think other entrepreneurs take lightly. They realize that it, you know, that there's a great deal of responsibility that goes with it. And it's exciting. It's so exciting.
So, Barbara, did you ever dream that your life would be the way that it is? I mean, you're pretty famous and well-known globally. Are you shocked at how your life has turned out?
I'll tell you the biggest shock to me, Constance, is how many beds I've slept in. You know, and it's so funny because I always wanted to travel, but for some reason, I hadn't really thought what, you know, had thought that that meant I would be sleeping in so many different beds. And, you know, I couldn't even count the number of beds I've slept in my life. And so that was kind of a surprise. The thing I always wanted, and I'll tell you right at the beginning, when I sat down and said, what do you love to do? Before I knew what I was going to do, the three things I wrote down were, and they would still be at the top of my list today, I like to talk, I want to travel, and I love to read books. I'd never thought about writing myself, but I love to read books. And so part of what I do now with my print newsletter is there's always a book column and I read lots of books and recommend only the ones that I think are really jewels. So I've built that into my business. The travel part has gone beyond my wildest imagination. And I still just, you know, am in astonishment. When I reached 1,000,000 miles with one airline, it was a huge surprise to me. But, and I also realized that for me, it's very different than it was for corporate people who travel. And I used to, you know, stand in line at the airport with people who were traveling for their job and were just being sent someplace. And I realized I get to choose where I go, you know, and if it's a, you know, a place I want to visit, then if I get an invitation, I'm right on it. So it's so different. It just every single way.
So, you know, I just believe that God is downloading ideas to people and, you know, just some of the things that you shared. I'm just a big proponent in taking small baby steps, you know, and moving, you know, in the general direction of what you think you want in your life.
And staying open when you realize that, oh, here's another opportunity I never saw at the beginning. And, you know, and giving yourself permission for it to be a growth path and that we don't know exactly, but we're going to pay attention during the journey and follow the guidance we receive to the best of our ability at the time.
Right. Do you believe that people need to be mentored? What's your thinking on that, Barbara? You know, that's pretty big now.
Can be very valuable. I had a mentor in my life, and it was very informal, but it was someone who really influenced me enormously in my thinking and was kind of, first of all, he was an entrepreneur, but he also was very interested in personal growth and development, which was something that was just a foreign subject to me before I knew him. And that was a really important, I still, even though it was years and years ago, I still realize what an impact he had on me. And so I think when we can put ourselves in a position to be mentored or to join a mastermind group, that's happening more and more, that you know, almost spontaneously entrepreneurs are setting up mastermind groups. That also can be a really valuable way to spend our time. And, you know, when we have people we can come together with and brainstorm ideas, it's really powerful. And so many of us who are self-employed work alone, we need to be conscious of having those connections also in our life.
You know, that's nothing but the truth. And so, Barbara, how can people get your book? What is your website? Or when are you having some seminars? What kind of services do you offer, et cetera?
Oh, my goodness. I'm having a coughing spell.
Okay. Well, you go ahead and cough, and I'll talk. And, you know, I have read Barbara's book, and it has really helped me. I love the gentle way that she really approaches business and, you know, really starting your own business. And so I'm going to really highly recommend. I know she's on Amazon.com.
I am. And, you know, if you have a local bookstore, if they don't have it, they can get it. It's also available through Amazon on Kindle. And I have people who show up all the time in my classes saying, I've got your book on Kindle. I guess you can't autograph it for me.
Right, right. And it's Barbara Winter, Making a Living Without a Job. And I'm going to strongly encourage, this woman has been, she's a pioneer in this area, and she's been doing the work for decades, and she knows what she's talking about. And I'm going to highly recommend that you get her book.
Well, I think that's a fine recommendation, Connie. and my website is joyfullyjobless.com. And I do an email newsletter. You can sign up for it there. And I also do a print newsletter, which just had its 29th birthday.
Wow.
And it's called Winning Ways, and it comes out 6 times a year. It's one of my favorite things to do because I'm kind of a busybody, and when I find things I'm excited about, I have to tell somebody. So newsletter is a perfect opportunity to do that. I don't currently have many things scheduled. I'm working on my fall calendar. I was planning a trip to France that mm-hmm. got canceled, so I'm filling in my fall schedule. But if people get on my mailing list, I always alert them to coming seminars once they're scheduled. So that's a way to find out if I'm coming to your part of the world.
Right. That's Joyfully Jobless.
That's right.
And so we don't mind you coughing, Barbara. And so in closing, what would you like to say to people all over the world?
Well, I would like to say what it says on the front page of my website, I guess, that I'm really not a missionary or an evangelist for self-employment. But if it's something that you have been thinking about, it's time to do something about it. And there are so many tools available now. It gets easier every day. When I started out, and I started my first business 40 years ago, there was absolutely no information except to build how to build a conventional business, you know, with employees and pension plans and all of those things. But if you want to just be a one-person operation or do something on a small scale, then we have more resources now than I ever imagined possible. And I think some of the things that I write about in my book, and there are resources that you can find also in the back of the new edition of my book, will really help get you launched and moving ahead. And, you know, the world needs your gifts, and you're the only one that can give them to us. So that's what I'd like to leave you with.
Barbara Winter, I'm so grateful to God for you being on my show today. And we're just so grateful for all of the work that you have done and how you have shifted and changed the lives of people globally. And I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's really been a pleasure. That time just whizzed by.
It did. Well, once again, this is Constance Erler with the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. You know what I'm going to say. Remember this: God loves you, I love you, and the best is yet to come. You better believe it.
Thank you for listening to Think, Believe, and Manifest. Constance will be back next week with another inspirational show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com or send Constance an email at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com.